everyone. Welcome to Vampire Diaries Radio Podcast. We are your hosts, Ashley
and Natalie. If you haven't guessed already, we are going to be talking to you about the television show series Vampire Diaries, created by Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec. This show is loosely based on the book series by L.J. Smith.
Within this podcast, we are going to take you through each episode of the Vampire Diaries television show. Today, we are talking about Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot.
Today will be different. I will no longer be the girl who lost her parents. I will be someone new. It's the only way I'll make it through.
I predict this year is going to be kick-ass, and I predict all the sad and dark times are over, and you are going to be beyond
happy. I can sense
everything I've kept buried inside came rushing to the surface. I'm simply not able to resist her.
Got a secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you'll save. Better lock it in your pocket.
Twist.
So, we're going to give you an episode summary, just so for people who have never heard of Vampire Diaries or never watched Vampire Diaries won't be completely confused. It's the first day of school at Mystic Falls High. Jeremy and Elena are forced to go back to school after the tragedy of their parents' death. Elena's prepared to give everyone a facade that she really is fine, and then a mysterious stranger walks in and turns her whole life upside down. My cohort came up with a great idea and the fact that we should explain who the main characters are, but we're not going to tell you what their fate is or anything. Yes, a cohort.
And co-host.
So basically, we have Elena, Stefan, Damon, Barney, and Caroline, who are our main characters, and of course, Elena's brother, but we'll get to him more later. So flashback to September 10th. Thursday at 8 o'clock at the CW, and here we go. Here's the opening scene of the pilot.
Yeah.
So, basically, we are driving along, and the camera focuses on mist and fog, and we see this car with two people that we never see again. Poor things. And, basically, they're talking about this terrible concert they just saw, and they are apparently together. We have no idea. They don't really tell us.
And I assume they're a couple, though.
And something hits their windshield, and they swerve out of control, and it's really scary, and they freak out. And then the boy, whose name we find out is Darren, walks out of the car and mysteriously disappears. Completely random, and it's really terrible, terrible scenes. But it gets better, so keep listening with us. And basically, then his girlfriend freaks out and pops out, and she also, too, is swept up and taken and apparently eaten, and we never see her again, which, you know, that's sad. Poor thing. And then we cut to the voiceover of a mysterious voice whose name we figure out is Stefan, and we're not sure exactly what's wrong with Stefan. Right, Natalie?
No, we do not.
And
he's very brooding, though.
Very, very, very brooding. And he's kind of cute, but we haven't seen his actual face yet. And so then we also cut to Miss Elena, who you'll find out soon. The show should have been titled All About Elena.
Yes.
But that's okay. And so basically, Elena is writing in her diary, which we never see again after the first couple episodes. And she's talking about how her life is very sad and depressing, and how it's going to change, she hopes, and that she prepares to say, "Oh, I'm fine, thanks," after the death of her parents, which is very sad. Poorly. And then we cut to the kitchen, where apparently Elena and a teenage boy live with their aunt Jenna. Side note, Sarah Canning, the actress who plays Jenna, is actually very, very young. She's one of the youngest people on the cast. So
just really? I didn't know that.
Episode commentary.
I should know that being on a Vampire Diaries podcast, but nope.
And basically, they're talking about breakfast and how, you know, her parents always talked about breakfast and cooked breakfast for them and, well, you know, and they can't. And Elena basically responds with, "It's all about the coffee, Aunt Jenna." And then Jeremy walks in broody and Elena asks him if he's okay, and then he just looks at her and says, "Don't start, emo boy." And then that's it. And then that's the first scene. And then we cut to Bonnie and Elena driving in a car. And Bonnie, who you will find out has a great, great history, but she is, in fact, very, very Caroline-esque, which you'll understand in just a few minutes. And then we find out Elena has absolutely zero luck in cars.
Yes.
Because? A crow hits the windshield and Bonnie swerves and she freaks out. Of course, apparently we really want car accidents in this episode. And we find out that the crow has
some secret significance, but you'll find that out later in the episode. So.
But major, major, major foreshadowing. So if you're watching it for the first time, look for that.
Yes. And the crow reappears in other episodes, so yes.
And then Bonnie and Elena drive to school, and, you know, they have the typical school, and we see this mysterious figure encased in leather, which is a direct scene from the book that Kevin Williamson definitely tried to have a shout-out to the book, and which is, L.J. Smith is not my favorite writer, so I'm sorry, L.J. Smith, if you're listening to this. And
hopefully not.
And Stefan, you see, who we find out is Stefan, is this boy with a really expensive leather jacket and sunglasses, and he's walking through, and everyone's staring at him, and we cut across this blonde girl, who we find out is Caroline, and Bonnie finds Stefan very attractive as well, and she delivers this great line, "Find a man, coin a phrase, it's going to be a busy year," which I think is absolutely hilarious. And then, you know, you have Caroline and Elena and Bonnie have their little interaction, and, you know, it's very typical high school, you know, which is
fun. You can tell they're very good friends.
Well, yeah.
They're not so much with Elena. I mean, with Caroline.
Caroline, yeah.
They're
not really sure about Caroline, but it's interesting because
she's the friend.
Right. For the rest of the episode, like the rest of the season, actually, it's, wow, like, Caroline happens to be a really good friend, but, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere and have a journey. And then, unfortunately, we find out Elena's brother is popping pills with one of my least favorite characters of the Vampire Diaries, Vicki Donovan.
Ugh.
She's a terrible actress. I was listening to the episode commentary, and they absolutely love the girl who's named Kayla Ewill. And
the actress who plays Vicki, like her?
They love her. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, I cannot stand this actress.
Well, it's her character more than her acting.
Anyways, she's a terrible character, and she finds out that her and Jeremy pop pills for fun, and then we're introduced to Tyler, who has major, major, major significance in the third season. But, yeah, poor Tyler.
He becomes very handsome in the third season. Not so much now, he's a bit of a jerk.
Major, major, major jerk.
Yeah, jerk.
Yeah, and then they have their little scene with Vicki, Tyler, and Jeremy, and that sets up sort of chaos, and you find out that Jeremy has a thing for Vicki, unfortunately, and Vicki Donovan is actually the sister to Elena's ex-boyfriend, Matt Donovan, which, poor Matt. And so then, basically, we're walking through the school, and we see the guy who is, in fact, compelling, which we find out is one of the powers that Stefan has, to this teacher. And compelling is forcing someone to do something against their will.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll talk about that a lot more when, you know, a couple episodes
down
the line.
You're giving things away.
I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry. In case you haven't noticed, we're going to be really spoilery. So if you really hate spoilers, well, we're sorry in advance. And then we find out, you know, this teacher wants immunization records and
Stefan compels her
to forget,
to think that he has all of his records set up and everything's okay.
Which we were wondering, do vampires actually have, you know, shot records? And do they have to worry about diseases?
Yeah, we wonder about that. In True Blood, they have something called cyanoAIDS, but I don't think we have anything like that in this world.
So I don't know. Mystic Falls apparently doesn't have to worry about diseases. Yeah. But all right, cool. And then we go to history class, and with my second least favorite character of all the Vampire Diaries history, Mr. Tanner, and he's telling them about the Great War of Mystic Falls, which, you know, okay, is significant, but on the other hand, this is a terrible actor. I don't know why they picked him.
I don't know. I think you just dislike these actors because you don't like the characters.
He's terrible. Oh, but we skipped over something really important, though. Elena and Stefan meet in the bathroom for the first time because Elena follows Jeremy into the bathroom because he's popping pills and she gets pissed off at him and says, "You haven't seen Crazy yet," which, okay, to be honest, we haven't, so maybe fourth season.
Yeah. Woo! I like this part. It shows she's got spunk.
Right.
That she really cares about her brother.
And I totally agree with that because in the book, Elena is actually very, very flat and terrible. And, LJ Smith, you make me cry. But... in this episode, actually, this is the point where you actually start to really realize Elena actually fights for something and, you know, is funky.
Yeah.
And you see Elena and Stefan meet for the first time and, you know.
She falls all over herself.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
and Stefan is very cute. Paul Wesley, he's actually an okay actor. I like him. And they have a very romantic novel-esque, or as Bonnie says, romance novel stare. And she gets all freaked. She's really, you know,
very flustered.
And then we go to class, and they're exchanging looks, and we find out Elena has extremely, extremely shiny hair. My goodness.
Ashley noticed that. She couldn't stop looking.
I wonder what kind of shampoo does she use? And as Natalie pointed out, she could probably be in a hair commercial.
Yeah.
Go Nina Dobrev in your very, very pretty hair. And they're exchanging looks, and Bonnie sends her a text message. Okay, which I didn't understand. She couldn't have spelled hottie, H-O-T-T-I-E. She had to spell it H-A-W-T-E.
That doesn't make much sense. But then again, they are texting in this class. I mean, they're not even being very subtle about it. It's just like, oh, yeah.
No, it was outrage. I thought it was really funny.
Well, come on. This teacher is, like, notoriously just strict. And so, like, you really think he's not going to say anything? Well, he doesn't notice, but... Come on.
And then we leave school, and Elena is walking to what we find out is a graveyard, and past a little sign that says Mystic Falls, established 1792. Remember that date, because it is really important. And then we have another voiceover, and she's writing in her diary by her parents' grave, which is
not morbid at all.
No, definitely not. Which is, the grave is huge. Like, so they must have had must have paid a lot of money for that tablet stone thing, but all right, that's cool. And she's writing, and then the terrible dry ice fog swirls around.
It's like this
Elena.
Low fog, and it just looks so fake.
It looks terrible, and even in the, like, I've watched, like, half of the episode commentary, and even they're, like, laughing about how terrible it looks. I'm like, you couldn't have, like, digitized it and made it a little better?
Yeah, but I guess not. I mean, they were on a budget, so I guess they had to use just the...
Right. And they weren't sure they were going to... It's a pilot episode, so they're not sure if they're going to get picked up yet. And okay. And then, as the fog is rolling in, we see a crow. Second time we've seen a crow. And she talks to it, which is absolutely hilarious. And she's like, fine. And then it pops out at her again. And then she runs and takes a tumble and runs into... Dun, dun, dun.
Stefan, again.
And this is the start of Stalker Stefan.
As we like to call
it. Yes, Natalie definitely likes to point out that Stefan's a stalker. And they have... Oh, this is also actually a huge scene where Elena has this great line of, "We have history together," when Stefan and Elena are talking about how they've met, which is absolutely hilarious. So if you get, when we get to episode 18 and 19 and 20... We really find out why they actually have history together, besides the physical class that the viewer thinks. So this is great foreshadowing. They're really good at foreshadowing, actually.
Yeah, and very tongue-in-cheek, I thought.
Right. And then Elena has this huge cut on her leg, and Stefan kind of vamps out, but not in the typical Buffy and True Blood vamp-out sense.
Yeah.
They apparently wanted to make the effect different from Twilight. Stefan doesn't sparkle, so I'm sorry. But
that's too bad.
But they actually want the blood that he craves to rush to his face so it turns black and the veins pop out, which is
not
actually...
in his eyes, not his whole face.
For a television show, it's actually pretty...
I liked it.
Decent effects. Yeah. I like it, too, because they're trying to, we've had Buffy and we've had True Blood. Like, so they tried to...
sort of
keep it away.
Yeah.
And keep his humanity, because Natalie, we were talking about how they...
Yeah, I liked that about it. This show, they like to show vampires as more human as opposed to these villains that they're shown in Buffy and in True Blood, where there's not much feelings in them.
Right. They look, they're monsters at core, and they like to constantly remind you of that, of their presence on scene. Yeah. And so when, in season three, when Stefan, like, becomes really, really scary.
Oh, yeah, the bumpy forehead. As the, that's what I was thinking
as
of
the
in Buffy.
Right, the bumpy forehead. But as when Stefan becomes, you know, what we find out is a Ripper, and he is human when he's going psycho and chasing Elena, it's even more terrifying. So, and, okay, this is, I'm sorry, we're Buffy fans. So if you hadn't known, in one of the episodes called Passion, when Angel kills Miss Callender, they were originally going to have Angel be a human face and not be a vampire face, but they said that was just too scary. So interesting that this show went the humanizing way, but the Buffy show couldn't, because apparently they thought Miss Callender, Angel killing Miss Callender, but with his human face and not his vampire face, was just way too scary. So. Interesting.
Is this when he was Angelus?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But yeah. So I just think that's interesting that some networks, well, which was, you know, the WB, essentially, would let Vampire Diaries do this, but not Buffy. So, you know, interesting side note there. And then we go back to the bar, which, or we find out is Mystic Grill, but we don't know the name of it until a couple of episodes down, which is, you know, kind of interesting. And we have Vicky, yay, and Matt and Tyler with Jeremy, and they have this terribly awkward scene, and we find out Jeremy and Vicky consummated in a really awkward...
Consummated? They had sex.
In a really awkward, like, deflowering... Oh, that quote was terrible. I was like, oh, okay.
Deflowering and deflowering. Yeah. Basically, they've had sex several times.
Oh, it's just...
In a drug haze.
And he's, like, 15, barely.
I kind of think that's a bit gross.
Which is gross, but I couldn't tell if... I think Vicky is supposed to be a year older than Matt. Because, like...
Really?
Yeah, Vicky's supposed to be the older sister, which is interesting.
That makes it so much worse that she's having sex with this 15-year-old. Oh.
Spoiler alert, she dies, so, you know, it doesn't matter. But still, ew.
Oh, that's a big spoiler.
Sorry, guys. And then,
You can tell we're not too sad about this.
Right, either. Bonnie and Caroline are talking about Stefan, and Caroline's talking about all the information about his favorite colors, blue, and how his last name is Salvatore, and he supposedly had military parents, and he's a military brat, and he lives
between third and fourth period.
Of course. She's very good at finding information, and he's a Sagittarius, I believe is what she says.
No, I thought it was Gemini.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Sadly, that's right. It was a Gemini. Even better. My. Yay. And Bonnie is very impressed with all the information she garnered, and Caroline is apparently planning a June wedding with Stefan, which, okay.
Yeah. Poor Caroline. That's a bit quick, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, apparently we move fast in Vampire Diaries, which we do. Especially in the books. Oh my goodness, they move incredibly fast in romantic-wise, but that's alright. Later about that. And then Elena and Jenna have a cute little scene, and Jenna tries to be the empowering parent of, don't stay out late, it's school night, which is kind of funny because...
Mm-hmm. Not very effective.
Well, no, because, well, Jenna's 24, I think, at the most, so...
Yeah.
And, and then it's just Tucker Stefan makes an appearance once more.
Yes, he appears at her door. What does he want?
He has her diary that she dropped in the graveyard. God. But now here's the question.
He says he did not look through it. But
yeah, do we think he read it? See, I'm not sure.
Well, I think because he's such a stalker that he did. He wants to know what she thinks of it.
Maybe, but I don't even think she's gotten there to writing, because between, everything that reflecting on her school day about how maybe things have changed and stuff like that. I don't know. Natalie's convinced he did, which he probably did.
Well, I don't know. But at the same time, though he is a stalker, I think that he likes to think of himself as sort of this anti-hero, that he's done bad things, but he wants to repent. And so Maybe he didn't look through the diary, but he's still a stalker.
But we all know Damon would have read the diary.
Absolutely.
But
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
She would have said it so well, too. Anyway, so basically she's going to the bar, the Mystic Grill, and, she invites him to come in this kind of awkward quote thing.
Well, I thought it was like this awkward foursome that they're all sort of interrogating Stefan. Caroline, Bonnie, and Elena are sitting at this table with Stefan, asking him about his life, sort of.
And then you find out that Stefan's parents are dead, and Elena has a very strong sense of bonding with him. And basically, Caroline invites him to the party at the Falls tomorrow, which, okay. And then
she likes him.
Yeah, Caroline. Major has a crush. Poor Caroline. Nothing ever works out for her.
I know.
Oh, well.
Well, she's one of my favorite characters.
She gets a lot better once she becomes what she becomes. But, you know, I think she has one of the most biggest journeys emotionally as a character.
I think she's developed almost
really well.
Like one of the most of
Candace is something is her last name. It starts with an A. I cannot pronounce her last name. But she's a really good actress. I like her. And then we get to Natalie's favorite song of the episode, which is...
Oh, yeah. Running Up That Hill by Placebo.
And we're in the Salvatore mansion. And we see my third least favorite character of the entire Vampire Diaries series, which he dies to. And his Zach. And we find out that Stephus is in fact Zach's uncle.
Yes, like, great, several times over, great.
Right.
Uncle.
But we're not sure what that means yet, so, you know. And then he's saying he has a newspaper in his hand, and we find out about the death of the two people, which we really should start starting like a body count. So we're at two so far in this series. Because we won two so far.
Yeah, but then we should also include, like, people who have been attacked. So, there's about to be an attack.
Right. And then he has a newspaper of the two dead people, and he's like, Stefan's like, I didn't do this. And then he's like, well, things have been quiet for years. People still remember, which is excellent, excellent foreshadowing for the council. But we're not there yet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then Stefan is being Mr. Broody, and he goes to his diary, and we see the first image of Catherine, who looks exactly like Elena. Yes. And we know it's not Elena, because it's a portrait, and it's dated 1864. So, what does that mean?
Again, very stalkery. He's got this picture from over 100 years old of a woman that looks exactly like Elena.
But where they take from the novel, because, you know, the similarity between Catherine and Elena are very, very different. But where they take the fact that Elena is, spoiler alert, a doppelganger, and where they take it is just so good. It's just ridiculous. Kevin Williamson of Dawson's Creek, ladies and gentlemen, you would be surprised on what depths he can achieve. And then, basically, we have what Natalie likes to call the smackdown.
Oh, the smackdown,
in class. And, basically, we go back to history class with Mr. Tanner, which he is the most ridiculous teacher ever. And
so mean. He's such a bully.
Yeah, and he's, like, very aggressive. And then he's, like, interrogating all our favorite characters, Bonnie and Matt and Elena.
Asking them some question about the Civil War and Mystic Falls.
And who the casualties were at the church, which is, spoiler alert, very, 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 very important. So if you haven't watched it yet, just keep an eye on that. Yeah. As we go through the season.
It's just amazing how much foreshadowing
there is. They did a really good job. And you kind of got to wonder, do they have the direction of where they were going to take it, or they just watched the pilot over and over?
Well, then again, you read the books, didn't you? You read a couple of
books. I read the first book and half of the second one. It was just, I don't know why. Yeah, you people call Stephanie Meyer a terrible author. You haven't read anything by L.J. Smith. And, side note, Vampire Diaries came out first in 1991, so...
I know. It's so ridiculous sometimes when you've got Twilight fans who are saying, like, oh, this author copied Stephanie Meyer. It's just like, that book came out earlier than the Twilight
book. It did. And so, you know, the Vampire Diaries, and then you got Buffy, and everyone's saying that was the first Buffy, you know.
Although I will admit that I think that after Twilight came out, there was a lot more interest in vampires. So I think with the success of Twilight, a lot of producers and people in the movie industry were inspired to make more vampire movies.
They did, They had really good, like, keen on what was going to work and appeal to the mass audience, especially on the CW, because that was it's a brand new network still. And,
They made some good choices.
the CW hasn't always made good choices. They canceled Veronica Mars.
That was terrible. Bad. But they've chosen some pretty good shows, very successful ones. Like, I mean, I don't watch it anymore, but Gossip Girl was very
Gossip Girl is still
beginning.
Ridiculously. And that's also based on a book, so as a fledgling librarian like me, woo, yay books. And, and what's great about The Vampire Diaries, as you'll see, like, it plays off of all the lore. There's Buffy references and Twilight references and, you know, Dracula references. And, do a really great job of including pop culture, but being a pop culture icon, if you can kind of go with me there. So basically, we have history, and Mr. Tanner is terrible to Elena. He's like, I forgave your ignorance before your parents' death, but personal tragedies need to leave when school starts again. It's so stupid.
I know. It's been 4 months since the death of her parents, and he's still on, like, he's...
And academic achievement shouldn't matter to the stupid... Well, I mean, academic achievement should matter, but not in the... not
a
in the...
school that should never matter.
Just because she doesn't know a question, I'm going to blame you. I'm not going to let you slide because you don't know this question. That's terrible, but all right. Yeah. And
so basically then Stefan steps in and he gives the correct answer
and tells Mr. Tanner he's wrong.
Yes.
And he can revisit his
the archive
to really learn the truth, which is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
You go, Stefan. Stefan doesn't usually have great lines like that. And
that was a beautiful smackdown.
It was. And then the episode doesn't get the episode's still all right. So as a viewer, you're kind of like, this episode's all right, and then we haven't gotten to the great part yet. So we go to the falls, the party, and, how do they have so much alcohol? Where did they...
I know, who was supplying all these underage kids with alcohol?
And constantly, throughout the show,
That's really what the founders should be worried about. Just Stefan. How are they getting all this alcohol?
Damon and Stefan can get the alcohol for them, but, later. But, now, Mystic Falls is supposed to be a tiny little town. How do they have this much alcohol? But, all right.
Yeah, well, I think they got it from the Mystic Grill. Does Matt work there?
No, Matt doesn't work there yet. Matt works there later. Vicky does, but I don't.
Maybe they got it from Vicky.
Maybe. It's just...
I'd believe it of her. Supplying kids with...
maybe. Well, agreed with her pill-popping loveliness. Anyways, so we have this scene at the party where these two twins look like they're making out.
I know.
We can't tell if they're boys or girls or girl and girl, which is... Okay, fine. But, they have the exact same haircut.
Yeah, this platinum blonde hair, very short.
And they're just like... Oh, okay.
What's going on here? And they, directly cut to them for, a second. Is there some significance here?
I know. And it's
are they trying to show that this is, a really raunchy party?
Could you imagine? Oh, my screen acting credits include being the twin that made out with my other twin. Everyone tries to do everything for breakout role. All right.
Hugh Hefner, he used to date, some twins.
I know.
Really nasty.
But, at least... they didn't make out with each other, I hope. Anyways.
We can't be sure.
Okay.
But let's stop talking.
Yeah, that's gross. All right, let's keep going. Anyways, so Caroline hits on Stefan and doesn't get rejected yet, but pretty much gets rejected.
Yeah.
And we find out that Bonnie is, she's been talking about how psychic she is.
Yeah,
but
her grandmother has been telling her that she's a bit psychic, and now when she's about to take a beer from Elena, she gets this vision, and she says that she saw a crow and a man.
Yeah, and then
that's
Elena tells her she needs
foreshadowing.
Yeah, very, very. And she's basically, we're not to that line yet. But anyways, Elena tells her she needs a crystal ball, and she has that flash. And then...
obviously not taking it too seriously, but Bonnie seems to be a little bit upset by it. She's starting to believe that maybe
Bonnie's
she has
freaked.
Some sort of psychic energy.
Because her Grams is telling her all this stuff, but... she also says Grams is drunk, All right. And then the party and Damon. Oh, I'm sorry, not Damon. I really wanted to talk about Damon.
I know. Just seem to get a little bit messed up with
Stefan
the names
and so apologize in advance. Stefan and Elena talk, and they have this kind of... It's not bad chemistry. It's just, I don't know if it was the writing or, directors tell them how to act, but... another side note about the episode commentary, it's supposed to be very a la Notebook, big eyes and lots of glasses, so it's romantic, it's pretty. And then, Stefan says, why, Elena tells him how mysterious he is, and he's like, oh, you have a mystery going on for you, too. Basically, oh, you look sad, and she's like, what makes you think I'm sad? And then, you know, they go into the little spiel, and, you know, it's sweet. And then he basically says he's not good at chit-chat. Okay, well, you know, you've been chit-chatting the whole time, but all right, cool. And then she goes through how her parents died, and you find out that her parents were, well, we actually find out most recently with the season 3, a great, great, great episode, finale called The Departed. Oh, my God, it was so good. But we actually see that scene. But anyways, we find out that her parents drove off the Wickery Bridge, which is actually really significant. So, you know, pay attention to that. And she was in the back seat, and somebody saves her, which... Ooh, who saves Elena? Oh, I don't know. But, you know.
I think you're already giving a lot away.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't help it. So, and then, you know. And then we cut to Vicky and Tyler, and she states very bluntly she doesn't want to have sex against a tree, which I can't blame her. But it's so stupid. Like, they had to include that scene.
Well, then again, I think they wanted to convey how much of a jerk Tyler is. So after,
and how much of a slut Vicky is.
Sorry. No, come on. So after she says no again.
And then Jeremy breaks it up, kind of.
And then Tyler has this wonderful quote where he says, wow, Vicky Donovan saying no, that's a first.
Oh, I know. Oh, very, very harsh with this.
I think he's just awful. He does like a complete 180 by the third season.
Which is really good, which shows how, like, you know, yes, the show's about vampires and spells and witches and stuff, but it actually has, like, great, you know, you're changing. Yeah, which makes it awesome. That's why we're doing this podcast. And then Steph and Elena have a cute little scene where Stefan goes, are you thirsty? Or to Elena, and I'm like, well, yeah, we all know you are. Which we thought was funny.
Yeah.
And then Vicky is standing in the middle of a misty forest again by herself, which is so stupid.
I know. What is she doing there?
She's mad at Jeremy, and she's mad at Tyler, and she goes on her little rant of, well, yeah, you want me to talk about my feelings. Well, it's better than what Tyler wants you to do, but okay.
Yeah.
And then something pops out at her and bites her. Yum. That. Just kidding. And then, you know, they have an awkward scene between Elena and Matt, and then Jeremy is sulking because Vicky basically rejected him again, and then he storms off in the forest, and Elena chases him, and he stumbles on Vicky, who's her prone body laying there, and she's bleeding, and chaos erupts, basically, and which is so funny, because Jeremy picks up Vicky, they run back to the party, and Elena's in tow, and Matt's freaking out because his sister's bitten, and...
Yeah. And then the camera pans
out. And then Matt looks at Stefan. Yeah. That is just completely random. Like, yes, I understand Natalie liked to point out there was drama effect, but on the other hand, okay, of all the people to look at that party, you pick Stefan?
I know. You know, you would think that he would be focusing on his sister, who seems to be dying of a wound to her neck, but no.
But right before that, Stefan really officially rejects Caroline, which, you know.
I know.
He basically
says, hilarious. I mean, sad for her, but it's kind of funny.
So, sorry, really quick. Basically, he says, you and me, Caroline, it's never going to happen. Which, and then he storms away, which, you know, poor Caroline. But anyways, back to the Matt Stefan thing. It's so stupid, but okay. Oh, we forget something completely random, okay, which is about the passion that Elena wants, but I'll get to more about that when we get to season 3, which is probably way down the line. So, basically, Stefan rejects Caroline, and then, you know, chaos erupts, and they call the ambulance, and the police don't do anything with the millions of kegs and beer bottles that are sitting there.
They just like a non-issue.
Oh, no problem. A girl got bitten, so I'm just going to ignore this. And Jeremy's drinking right in front of the cops, and Elena kind of delivers this cute little, you know, the people that are dressed up in uniforms, they're cops, last time I checked, which is funny. So Stefan's all freaked out about who bit Vicky, and then we get to the house, and
Thank he's back at the God. House.
Yes, he's yeah. back at the mansion. And the episode just gets so much better with the appearance of 1, 2, 3, Damien! Yeah. Finally. Oh yeah. My gosh. Ian Somerhalder is a great actor. I love him.
You like him because he's hot.
Oh, he's beautiful. But on the other hand, I wanted to watch Lost because I like Ian Somerhalder. And oh my God, he's terrible. He's, the yeah. role for him is just not suiting his.
He's really good as like sort of a dark villain.
Actor prowess.
Yeah.
In, if you're a Buffy fan, he's very Spike-esque, which is probably why I like him. But
yeah.
Kevin Williamson does a great job portraying Damon, because LJ Smith just doesn't have a funny bone in her body when she's writing him.
Well, I would agree there with your comparison to Buffy, that sort of Damon is kind of like the Spike character, and then Stefan is sort of
very
like
angel.
Yeah. The brooding anti-hero character.
Yeah, and, you know, Stefan never loses his soul, but on the other hand, Stefan...
But then again...
Stefan can't compete with his desires, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But anyways, we get to Damon, and, oh my gosh, with this great line of, hello, brother, and then it cut, you know, I guess it would normally go to commercial. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he delivers this great line of, oh, I couldn't... Stefan's, like, demands, like, why are you here? And Damon goes, well, I couldn't miss your first day of school, which is absolutely... hysterical.
Yeah.
And Damon is actually the elder brother of Stefan, we find out. And
you wouldn't think it though, because
Because Damon doesn't act like an older brother. But and it's great because
but
like,
in some ways in season 3 you really see him acting more like the older brother, helping his brother through a tough time.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not there yet. And then he talks about how Stefan talks about how it's been 15 years since they last saw each other.
Yeah, and you can tell there's really an antagonistic relationship.
Tension.
Yeah, tension.
Lots of tension. And then Damon goes, thank God, the horrible grunge look did nothing to suit you.
I thought that was hilarious. Just imagining Stefan in, like, this grunge look.
Yeah, because Stefan is just
like,
so...
ripped jeans, like, crazy long, straggly hair.
Very Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But, we basically find out it is really all about Elena, like just like all about Eve, but all about Elena, and how Elena took his breath away, and that Elena is a dead ringer for Catherine, which is so great. And Nina Dobrev is a great actress, but we're not there yet. And Damon and Stefan fight, which is not the best fight we've ever seen on Vampire Diaries.
I kind of liked it. I mean, it was there wasn't much to it, but I think what was most important was just to convey to the audience that they really do not like each other. And though Damon isn't going to do anything yet, there's always like that threat that he can do something really awful. He can fight his brother, and he would win if he fought his brother.
And Damon threatens Stefan with it's like a millennia of misery, which is actually really, really important, because you wouldn't think that what happens, what like the revelation of why they hate each other, what happens actually happens. It's completely different than what I thought.
Really? But what did you think it was
going to I be thought that
when you
Damon
were initially watching the
this
episode.
Is a spoiler alert, so I'm sorry. I had thought that Damon had turned Stefan, but in fact we find out that it is complete opposite. And it's actually very, very sad that they do such a good job with creating pain and, oh, you, and Damon and Ian Somerhalder is a great, you know, he's a great deliverer of pain, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, he fights and Stefan falls, and you find out that the day that you quit drinking human blood, which we find out that we hadn't really realized that before, that Stefan, is in fact relying on
yeah.
animal blood or non-human blood. I don't know what that...
Yeah. That abstaining from all human blood.
Which is actually really important
so
for...
So he's like a vegetarian of vampires.
But we find out that Stefan's not always a very good vegetarian. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, he cheats a lot. Yeah. a lot. Which, you know, feel bad for him, but okay.
Yeah.
And then Damon basically says, oh, I give you a 6. He falls out the window and he's like, I'm impressed. I'd give it a 6, but, you know, something happened. Oh, it was funny. Damon just has great lines. And then Damon walks away from the fight and it says, oh, I think we woke Zach up, which is hilarious. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, Zach, to remind you, he's the nephew of, in quotation marks, of...
Great, 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 great descendant,
yeah.
Which is, you know, hysterical. And then, you know, Lena and Jeremy have their little scene back at the forest paddock fault party, whatever. And basically she says, nobody cares our parents died anymore, Jer, so we need to kind of, you know, snap it up.
Yeah.
And then Bonnie and Caroline at the grill. Nothing really happens except Caroline sees Damon for the first time. And she's,
no, I thought there was one
very attracted to him
part that was important about that scene. You see Caroline having a candid moment with Bonnie, and she basically, Bonnie basically says to her about her relationship with Elena, oh, it's not a competition, and then Caroline says, yes, it is.
And this is where we find out it's all about Elena.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, I basically thought that Caroline was a lot like, what was her name, in the Brady Bunch,
you know, Janet and Marcia,
yeah, yeah.
You know. Elena.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is, you know, it's actually, in this season alone, you really find out that Caroline wants to be Elena, you know.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have expected that in the beginning of the episode because she's so pretty. She's, like, the head of the prom committee and all that. She's got this beautiful blonde hair, but at the end of the day, she wishes...
Caroline's really lonely, yeah.
Yeah, she's lonely, and she wishes she was...
Elena.
Yeah, Elena.
But then, you know, Elena and Jeremy... Elena's just so mixed up in their grief, she doesn't really realize that, which, you know, kind of sad for Caroline. Poor Caroline.
Yeah.
And then, Matt and Vicky are at the hospital, and Matt's keeping vigil over his sister. He's a very good brother. He doesn't get treated very nicely. Poor Matt.
I know.
And we go.
And how sad was that scene at the Mystic Grill when Elena walks in with Stefan, and then Matt's sitting at the table, like just looking at them.
Matt's way emo in this episode, and that changes rapidly.
God, really. It was just really sad because they'd been broken up for, like, what, 4 months?
Yeah. But he's, like, listening to his iPod and, like, walking around and, like, pissed off at Tyler. And then he has this scene with Bonnie. I don't know. Anyways, Matt. But anyways, back to the hospital scene. So Matt's, like, comforting Vicky because she's freaking out. And then she does a very Bella-esque vampire whisper, which, okay, yeah, they had a... resonate it somewhere. And it's interesting that Matt is actually the first person to realize that there might be vampires in Mystic Falls. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Besides Zach. Of course, Zach knows.
Yeah.
And then you think the episode's over, but of course it's not. Which, because we have the return of Stalker Stefan once more.
Oh, yes.
Who pops up.
I forgot about that, but yes.
Who pops up?
Yeah.
Oh, we totally skipped over.
So he follows her to the cemetery. He follows her home, asking, like, the first person who comes by to tell him where Elena lives.
Okay, so basically, you kind of ask, oh, do you know where Elena lives? And immediately, some random stranger just says, oh, yeah.
Doesn't know why he wants to talk to her.
Yeah, doesn't ask, doesn't, like, oh, you're kind of weird. Oh, the Gilbert Summers residence is at, I can't. Yeah, we never find out their address, which is really interesting because...
Well, we're not stalkers, so we don't need to know.
Well, that's true. But, you know, Buffy's house was 1630 Ravello Drive, but it's just, you know, you think you want to know a little more about Elena's parents, but, you know, whatever. Okay, fine. And then, you know, Elena's writing in her diary, and they have a voiceover. Actually, one of the quotes is from our little theme song that we made. And, you know, there's lots of flashes, you know, you flash to Caroline grinning at, you know, Damon with her come hither look, which is hilarious. And then, we've decided that Caroline's a villain magnet, major villain magnet, which, you know.
Well, you'll find out more in season 3.
With Klaus, but you were not there yet. But, Caroline and, you know, Damon have this cute little, well, it's not really cute, but you kind of feel bad for Caroline. And then, you know, Elena and Stefan, Elena pops up and says, oh, what are you doing here, Stefan? And, you know, he's like, oh, I just want to make sure you're okay, which, you know, stalker Stefan, all right. And then Elena's like, it's warmer inside. She wants to know if he wants to come in. I was like, yeah, because he needs an invite. And then he goes in, and apparently they talk all night, according to the next episode. And then the last line is, "Oh, I know that I'll be fine," which is like a, you know, a duel. They say the line, the voiceover together, which is sweet. And then and then he asks her, "Oh, I'm sorry." Elena talks about how you know, everyone always asks her if she's going to be okay. And then
she responds with this, "Ask me tomorrow."
Which is, you know, that's cute.
Well, it's a bit cheesy, I think.
You know.
Would you really say that to someone?
It's better than Vicky Donovan's cheese, so I'll take Elena. Elena's delivery of, you know, Nina Dobrev's delivery of Elena's cheesy lines, you know, I'll take that over Kayla Ewell's date. And then we've reached the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Which is really, really great.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We went through this review.
Yeah. Well, we haven't done yet. One more thing. Okay. So Elena and Stefan are talking about what kind of relationship her and Matt had. And he's talking about passion. Okay. And Elena's like, and Stefan like fills in the word, "Oh, it was just wasn't passionate." But we find out in the finale of season 3, that she doesn't want passion. She doesn't want passion to consume her. Anyways, this is a whole big rant that I will save for The Departed. Okay? Yeah. And then, Natalie, how many crows would you give this season? This episode.
So basically, we've decided to go use this rating system. We're going to call it crows instead of stars.
Between 1 through 5.
Yeah, 1 through 5. Well, personally for me, because there wasn't... You know, beginning episodes, they're usually not so good. Like in Buffy, I thought the first season was...
It was terrible.
It wasn't so good.
No.
But it really picked up in season 2, mostly because of Spike, I think. But anyway, so I didn't think this episode was so good. I would probably give it 3 crows.
See, I don't know, though. I'm thinking about how great a foreshadower Kevin Williamson and Julie Peck are.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
I would give them a 4 because it sets up the whole Catherine story arc, and it really sets up the antagonistic theme between Damon and Stefan, and, you know, we find out more about Jeremy, and, you know, you kind of have that mystery of Elena's parents. You know, I would give it a 4 out of 5 crows, which is really, you know, and
that's,
you know,
pretty good.
Yeah, I really,
and definitely 5 crows for the finale of season 3.
Yeah, because interestingly too, I give it a 4 because even in the episode commentary, they talk about how when they were writing the pilot and shooting the pilot, they didn't know the tone that they were going to have.
Yeah, I think that's a real reason why I'm giving it a 3, because they weren't exactly sure where they were going. There was a lot of scenes where they would just pan into Elena's face, and it was just a little bit
silly. Establishing shots, which, yes, okay.
She's, like, she's very pretty.
Yeah, we understand that. Yes, she's very pretty. And, okay.
And she has nice hair.
She does have very shiny hair. I do admire that. But, yeah, so this is a great series, you know, it really doesn't culminate until the later half. Like, the first episode, I was kind of worried, actually, because, you know, when I had heard of the book series from a, interesting tidbit really quick, from actually one of my hairstylists. I don't have, you know, hairstylists normally, but, you know, I got my hair done, and I got a hairdo, and, she was telling me about, "Oh, you like vampires?" Because I told her I like Buffy or something. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, you should really try out the Vampire Diaries." And I was like, "What? Okay." And because I was like reading Twilight or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when the series came on, I was intrigued. So I was like, "Okay, I'll read the first book." And I was like, "Oh, my God." Like, I read the first book. I was terrible. I was like, yeah. No.
And her books went out of print for a while, didn't they?
They did.
Deservingly so.
Yeah. They're not my favorite books. And then I hadn't watched it, and a couple of friends of mine besides Natalie were telling me, "Oh, watch Vampire Diaries and I was resisting. And then the season 1 was like $14 at Fry's, which, if you're not from California, it's an electronics store. And so I picked it up, and because I needed a new show, because I was tired of watching reruns of Sons of Anarchy, and it was awesome. So, and then it only took me 2 years to really want to start a podcast about it. So yeah. And, so 4 out of 5 crows. And thank you for listening, everyone. We do have a website. We haven't actually, you know, written anything on it, but we're going to have show notes. It's www.vampirediariesradio.wordpress.com. And if you have any reviews or suggestions for our next podcast, you can email us at vampirediariesradio@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.